Welcome to What We Watch When We Drink, a booze dancing media podcast featuring lively discussions about movies, TV shows, and anything else that we're watching while we drink our favorite boozy libations. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever else you get your podcasts. Hey, West Coast.
Hey, how we doing?
All right.
We are recording on a, what is this, Monday night for episode two, the crash and burn episode.
Why are we calling it the crash and burn episode?
I don't know. I thought it was funny.
I think it's funny. And it's just like, yeah, why not? Why not?
You know my favorite band is Rush. Yeah. You know that, right?
Yeah, I do, actually.
So here's a crash and burn story about Rush. They have three albums that come out in the 70s, and they do, and they're okay. They're kind of popular, but not like, you know, knocking down records or anything like that. And their contract's coming up, and the record company says, basically, you know, you guys aren't cutting it, right? There's no hit singles on any of your records. You guys just kind of, we'll probably drop you. And so they went into the studio to record. They said, screw it. This is it. This is like the crash and burn album. We're doing whatever the hell we want. And screw it. This is it. By the end of the career, we'll go back to whatever we were doing or, you know, whatever. We don't care. We're going to do it for ourselves. And they came out with 2112.
And the rest is history.
And the rest is history, right? So maybe this is the crash and burn episode.
This is the crash and burn episode.
This is our 2112 episode.
All right. That's cool. The crash and burn episode.
The crash and burn episode. So where can people listen to us and hear all this stuff, by the way?
Anywhere you want. Anywhere you want. You can go to the blog at boozedancing.com. You can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play or Google, and lastly, Stitcher. That's where we are right now.
Wow. Look at all that. What we watch while we drink all over the airwaves.
Dude, what we watch when we drink.
Right. So many W's.
God.
I know.
God, the 5WD-4 podcast. Is that like 10W-40? You do that?
I do remember that very well. Synthetic
WD-40.
Oil.
WD-40.
Yeah.
There you go. Let's get to the drinking part first.
Yes, because I could definitely use a drink.
I could use a drink as well. So what you got? What you pouring?
So I am going to drink. I am pouring the Four Roses Small Batch Select, which I think came out last year, right? It's a new one to the Four Roses lineup.
I think it's relatively recent, right?
I think it came out in 2019.
Yeah, it's like a year and a half, something like that.
Yeah. And I think you guys reviewed it, didn't you?
Yes. Actually, I think it came out in 2019.
That's what I said.
Yeah. Never mind. I'm sorry. I'm all confused. It's all one day.
It clocks in at a healthy 52% ABV.
Nice. Well, it's interesting. I've got the Four Roses, just the small batch, just the regular. And I was going to get the select, but I noticed I have less of the small batch. So I'm looking to clear some bottles. So I'm going to pour a little bit of this. And it's a little lower. So it's good for a Monday.
That one's like 47?
40, something like that. 43?
Oh, it's
45. Wow. I don't know. I can't see. I'm blind. Blind drunk. I'm not quite blind drunk yet.
Clink.
I like Four Roses.
That's a good bourbon.
That's very good bourbon. And you know what? I think they like their rye too. So they tend to go a little rye heavy. They're not really wheated like a lot of the other whiskeys. Like a lot of other like bourbons. These guys go rye.
This is really fantastic. Every time I think I'm not really a big bourbon guy. Mm-hmm. I think I like the smell of bourbon more than I like the taste of bourbon.
I like both. I like it all. I like to drink it. I like to smell it. I like to look at it. I like to share it with my friends. I like to hoard it for myself sometimes. Just depends on my mood.
Crazy man. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get this train rolling. So our first little segment here, we always like to talk about what we watched and our thing that we both watched that just came to an end on HBO was Lovecraft Country. Well, why don't you talk about, give it a little spin, rundown. What'd you think about it?
You know, I liked it a lot in the beginning. I followed it through. I will say I like the characters. I'm not really big on the fantasy genre, but they made it work. You know, they kind of made it work for this show. But it also got a little confusing towards the middle. It got very, very confusing. You know, but I was in it for the characters. I didn't really care that much about plot.
I thought the plot was convoluted. I thought at first it might be almost like an anthology series. Not an anthology, but an anthology in the sense that each episode felt like its own little movie.
Right. And they were all a little different.
But then they were all a little different. And there was a little of that. And they all were connected. But the connecting of them, maybe just I'm just a dumb guy, it seemed a little bit far-fetched a little bit in some ways. I thought the concept was good in light of current mm-hmm. events and current social unrest.
Right.
Much like The Watchmen, and there was a connection with The Watchmen in that movie, in this as well, with Tulsa. And I liked that thing and the overriding metaphors that go on about
race relations in the United
States. Race relationships in America. Mm-hmm. And that was great. It just kind of got off the rails in some ways to me.
It did.
But the individual actors and their roles, I thought were really great.
Oh, I thought they were very good. And the chemistry was very good amongst them all, too.
Yeah. I just thought the storytelling wasn't... It just got too weird at some point. It liked that it sort of wrapped itself up and ready for season two. But it was a little bit of a slog for me.
I'm thinking maybe, what if they would have gone maybe more episodes in terms of quantity, but shorter? Like maybe they tried to do too much in one episode?
So more than a few times I thought the same thing, that this episode feels very long.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot going on in here, and I can't remember what happened 20 minutes ago. So maybe it is too much. I don't know.
Yeah, it's
but
tough.
But there were some people I just loved seeing. There were great individual performances, right? Tick, that guy's great.
He was really good. He was really good.
Yeah, that whole character, the
Jonathan Majors, his name was Tick. No, he was Atticus Freeman.
Freeman, right? Tick. I like that. I like the nickname Tick. Call me Tick.
You are a Tick, actually.
I am a Tick.
Yeah, blood sucking bastard.
Pain of the Tick. Letty. I liked Letty a lot.
Letty was cool.
She was great.
She was feisty.
I think she's fearless. Got star quality over absolutely. All over her.
I liked Journey Smollett. Is that her name?
Yep.
She was really good. She's like feisty. She's like she's just fierce. She's fierce and she's fearless. But yeah, I mean, I like the individual characters. I like the chemistry between the characters. Tick and Letty had really good chemistry. I liked Michael K. Williams as Montrose.
I'll watch him in anything.
I mean, you know. Yep. It's Omar. Michael K. Williams is great. And I am really glad that he was able to build a career after The Wire. And he's sort of similar characters, but not really typecast.
No, I think...
He doesn't play the same kind of guy. He was great in Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, he was great in that. I loved him in that.
I liked him in The Night Of.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He was in The Night Of. Yeah, that was great,
I liked him in
too.
This. But yeah, well, anything with Michael K. Williams, I'm in. And I'm absolutely in.
And I just love Courtney B. Vance. You know,
oh, he was great.
Because he's our guy from
Jonesy
Hunt for October. He is, you know, it was great. It's great seeing him. And he's a very, very good actor.
And you know who he's married to, right?
No, who's married to?
Angela Bassett.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, they've been married for a long time.
I did not know that.
Which is great because I like her too. Speaking of fierce,
she's had a really interesting career too.
She has. She's done a lot of good stuff.
It's been all over the place. I mean, she's been in a lot of different things.
She was Tina Turner, for God's sake.
She's Tina Turner.
But anyway, going back to Lovecraft Country before we go completely off the rails.
You know, and how HBO kind of runs their programming. You know, every Sunday night's that big blockbuster. Mm-hmm. The big thing. And I guess this was the big one, you know, this last 8 weeks or so.
Right.
Or whatever it was. And it felt a little bit not in that category. It seemed a little bit below their level of normal. You know, is this thing going to win Emmys next year? I don't know.
Probably not.
I don't know. I just don't think it's up to the level of the other kinds of things that we've seen on Sunday nights for the last 10 years that they've
Like Succession or...
All of them.
You know, Game of Thrones was their biggie, obviously.
Game of Thrones and Watchmen and...
The Outsider, is that what it's called?
Oh, The Outsider. Yes.
Yeah, I didn't get into that.
It was good, but... And I think it won some awards as well.
So do you think there'll be a second season of the show?
I think so. I think it'll get... Well, let me step back. Pre-COVID... I would have said, yes, there's going to be a second season of this show. But now that we're starting to see, shows not coming back because of costs and maybe because of COVID, I don't know if this one will come back. I'm not sure. I'm not sure how they measure things so much on HBO. Right. Not ratings wise, it's different. It's subscriptions. It's
just if you're willing to pay your $15 a month.
Right. I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's going to be a tough call. I think it's going to be a really tough call because I don't know how well it did. It didn't really get – it got mixed reviews from the critics.
Yep.
Not that that really matters all the time, but still, no. It's a barometer. It's just a way of picking and choosing what you're going to watch.
Yeah.
So I think it got a lot of fanfare in the beginning, and that just kind of dropped off. And I kind of felt the same way about the show. Like the first four episodes I thought were really good. Then it kind of – next couple were a little off and on. There were good elements.
Yep.
You know, and then towards the end, they pulled it together. They kind of put a bow on it to a degree.
It's set up to be another season, but whether we see that season is the question.
Yeah, I don't want to give any spoilers, but I have a hard time believing that, you know, killing off one of the characters is for real.
I agree.
Especially now that they've discovered the whole time travel thing, too.
Yes.
And that there's things going on, so... Who knows? They might find a way to change it. But it was an interesting show. I'm curious to see how it happens the second time. I mean, the second season. Because some shows do improve the second season once they get their footing.
And I actually remember hearing a couple interviews with the director. And she's got... And I think she's got some great attitudes and ideas. Mm-hmm. Getting him to screen is another story. It takes a little time. And it takes time for a show to find its voice. And maybe that's what this thing needs, it needs another season. But now, getting that second season or third season may not happen for a lot of shows.
Especially when it looks like it's a show that's, you know, FX heavy, which might be expensive to do.
Good point.
So, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
How's your drink?
Oh, it's good. I like this bourbon. This bourbon's very good. It's very, very easy to drink.
Yeah, this is too. And even at 50 point, whatever it is.
I'm a fan of Four Roses. I'm always of the, when in doubt, Four Roses.
Yeah, it's probably my go-to bourbon.
Yep, same here.
It is just great, and it's great value too.
Yep.
We don't talk about price too much.
No.
Which one are you drinking? That's the.
This is a small batch, and I think it's $30-$35.
Yeah, and there's the Barrel Select, which is like I think it's 50%.
Right,
and it's like $50 maybe,
something like that. And in between that, it's going to be the single barrel.
Single barrel, that's the one that's the private barrel stuff, right? This one's the one I have here.
Not also. There it's is always a standard single barrel, and then there are the private barrel
private select, right?
Which is what a lot of people get.
Yep.
You know, which you can get it like remember $7,000?
Yep.
Had the whole series that they do, and
yep.
I think I picked up one at Park Avenue Liquors.
Yep. It's just a really great value.
It is. I would agree.
At the high numbers, at the high fives.
Absolutely. It's delicious stuff.
So what are we talking about? What do we want to watch? What's on our little ticket to watch?
Well, what's your show in progress right now? Do you have anything you're working on?
So I just finished something, and I think we talked about it a little bit off show. And
we don't want to know about the off-show stuff. We want the on-show stuff.
Oh, the on-show stuff.
The on-show.
Just finished this up a day or two ago, over the weekend, on Netflix. It came out Friday, I think.
Okay.
I think it's 6 or 7 episodes. So it was a binge. It was a binger for me. I stayed up late Friday night.
How many episodes?
The Queen's Gambit, Walter Tevis book from the 1980s, and you know him from The Color of Money, The Hustler. So he likes gambling and pool.
Are you a gambler?
Not anymore. No.
Not anymore?
No.
Do we want to go down that road?
Well, you know, back in my day, I used to spend a lot of time in Vegas. But that's another story.
Okay.
Directed by Scott Frank, who did Get Shorty.
Well, he wrote
so this is in your world, I think.
Yeah.
I think this is in your world. And what this story is about is a child... A girl,
chess prodigy,
and it's she's an orphan. Her mom car accident when she's really young. She goes to an orphanage. This orphanage is sort of like One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. The kids are getting fed tranquilizers. This is, I think, in the 50s, I believe. Mm-hmm. Maybe in the 40s. I can't remember the era. And so she's stuck in this thing, and she befriends this orphanage's janitor who worked at a little space down in the basement, and he's playing, mm-hmm. and he plays chess pretty much by himself.
Interesting.
And she goes down there and sees him, gets in trouble. She has to go down there to clean the erasers, and she sees him playing chess, and she doesn't know what that is. And he basically teaches her after a little bit of her asking. And she's a prodigy. She's amazing. And he pushes her along, and she gets into some tournaments, and this is somewhere in Louisville. And odd show, because it's in Louisville, and no one has a Southern accent in the whole show. It's very odd. And
we really picked well then.
Bourbon wise, yes, we did.
I don't know where Four Roses is exactly.
They're in Lawrenceburg.
Lawrenceburg. Okay. Yeah. I don't know how far
it's on the Bourbon Trail.
Okay.
So she becomes this amazing prodigy, and she becomes this great chess player. She's beating people older than her. She wins the local tournaments. She wins the U.S. Open.
This is not a true story.
I don't know if it's based on reality or not. I don't know. I never read the book. And she ultimately is playing against the world's best. And this is back in, this becomes part of the 50s and 60s era where chess is like the biggest sport in the world. Yeah. And she's playing Russians, and she's playing people from other countries. Mm-hmm. But she's also falling into drugs and alcoholism and watching her just kind of fall to pieces and trying to hold it together. And her adopted mother falls apart, and she's almost a latchkey kid at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And watching her kind of evolve to become this chess star is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
She's great. The actress's name is Anna Anya, which I should know because that's my daughter's name. Mm-hmm. Anya Taylor-Joy. She's got a very interesting look. She's very charismatic. And she's just great. She's been in some other things too. Nothing I recall, but she is just amazing. Each episode kind of builds upon her falling down, because it's building up of her abilities and then a falling down of her personal being. And she's great. The other part that I think is really interesting too is, it's got this period piece look to it that they spent a lot of time working on. The house that she lives in when she gets adopted out as a teenager, I think she's like a 10-year-old, 12-year-old. She might be a teenager when she gets adopted out. And this house is right out of the it's right out of the early 60s. When she travels around on these chess tournaments, it is like looking back and seeing all of the shag carpeting and all of the strange motels and lime colored walls and paneling on the other wall and the green phone. They spent a fortune on getting the look, and it's great. And her clothing, as she becomes more successful and has more money, and her look becomes she becomes really intrigued by rock and roll and by the look of the day and the Brits. Uh-huh. It's really amazing. Huh. A really interesting turnaround.
All right. Well, then guess what? That goes on to my what I'm going to watch list.
It's a little bit of a work in the beginning, I think. And then once you're in, I get sucked in. And there's some other stars in there that are great. The guy who plays the janitor is Bill Camp. You know Bill Camp, right?
He was in The Night Of.
That's right. He's in The Night Of.
He was the detective.
Yes. He's great.
He's a big, I think, New York actor.
Yeah, he is really good. I really enjoyed him. He plays the custodian who kind of befriends her, and he's really great. The other guy that's in there that you would know is Thomas Brody Sangster.
Who's that?
He plays a... So he looks... The guy's always going to look like a kid. He plays this famous American chess player who he's Sam in Love Actually. He's in he's Ferb. Actually, in Phineas and Ferb.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's the voice of Ferb, which Ferb doesn't talk a lot, but
Is he
he's in Game of Thrones.
He's not Scottish.
I don't know where he's from. He's Brit. He's a British. And I think he's also in a couple Star Wars movies.
It sounds like you're selling it pretty well. I may have to add this to my list.
I really liked it. And it got better. My daughter had binged it all in one night. Uh-huh. or one day, and she said, "You gotta stick with it." So, you know, I listened to the teenager. She told me, and she was right. It was good, and it's interesting seeing. Because I do recall this when I was a kid watching Wild World of Sports on ABC when they'd have chess match, Boris Baski, and Bobby Fischer.
Did you ever play chess?
I did, and my dad was a chess player. He taught chess, and when I was a kid, I played chess, and I got my son playing chess when he was little. He was in a chess club, and my youngest now, after seeing this, wants to maybe just learn. It's a great game.
And it is. I'm terrible
so
at it,
much.
Though.
I am too.
I can't think more than one move.
And that's the key, right? Is these people that are great at it, they can see the board, they can see all the moves ahead of time, and it's a very unique mind that can play chess at that level, I think, right? Speaking of sports, like the other thing that I'm into right now, we're sort of one more night, hopefully, is World Series.
Mm. So you're rooting for the Rays, right?
I'm not rooting for the Rays.
Oh, come on.
I'm actually rooting for the Dodgers. 32 goddamn years that we haven't had a World Series here. And oddly enough, it was 32 years ago that the Dodgers and Lakers won their championships in the same season. So it could happen again. And the city, it's so weird.
Sports, you're going to have a good, bad year.
Yeah. Sports is so weird, of course, right? You can't celebrate. You can't really have parades, although I just saw today that the Lakers, they're attributing some of the spikes in COVID here locally to a lot of the crazy celebrations that people were doing after the Lakers win.
Mm.
It's a strange, weird year to be a sports fan. You know, normally you'd be watching games with friends or be in a bar, and we're not doing any of that. We're like at home, texting each other. Last night I was watching game five, and I've got my daughter in New York on FaceTime. She's watching the game on her phone. I'm watching on TV, and I'm texting with a friend of mine here locally who's watching at his house because we can't be together.
Right.
It's a strange world for televised sports.
It is. Now, are you one of those jumping up and down, ranting and raving kind of sports guys?
Can you watch quietly? I can get pretty loud at times. Usually at the big moments, of course.
See, with me, I think it's that I don't really know a whole lot about sports. I enjoy watching the game. Like I watched Saturday night, which was, oh my God, 4 hours of baseball. It's like, okay, you guys are killing me. It was a great game. I watched like the second half. Like I was worried because I was going to watch it. And then my son came down and we watched the Addams Family.
Mm-hmm.
And then he left and went to bed around 10:15, I started watching the game, and I think it was like the fifth inning.
Yeah.
And that was only 2 hours in, and then it went to like 12:30 on the East Coast. It's crazy. Yeah. It was a great game, though. I couldn't turn away. I'm like, I got to watch this.
We could do a whole episode just on the wackiness of television sports and TV. It's really interesting how baseball has America's pastime, right? Used to be games were 2 hours when I was a kid. Two hours. And information is sometimes the worst part of growth for sports and baseball. Information is killing baseball for TV and in the stands. There's more information. There's more analytics, right?
Right.
So there's more knowledge of how to ultimately win. It's not about dollars. It's about winning the game. It's chess. So if in the old days you would just make moves, now you're making moves that are really thought out, mm-hmm. by statistics. But that also means there's many more moves, and many more moves take many more minutes. Right. And baseball has always been the sport that doesn't have a clock. There's no clock.
Nope.
Games can end when they end. That's crazy. And it's gotten worse with baseball. They've
over there, like 72 pitcher changes on Saturday
pitching night? Changes, and they don't want to institute like a clock, and you know, you got to get commercials in. But the problem with baseball, and they know it, is that attendance is viewership is diminishing. I'm guessing that this World Series, as little as we have to do in our real lives because mm-hmm. of COVID, I'm sure it's going to be the worst watched World Series in years. It just will be. And the NBA championships were the same way. People get bored. They're not going to sit in front of a TV for 4 hours like yourself.
Right.
Whereas, you know, the Super Bowl is one day and it's 4 hours, right. Period. It's not going to go much more than that. And you have entertainment too. So I don't know. It's a really tough thing for most viewers to kind of sit down, and unless you're a baseball nerd, to sit through all that. That's tough. That being said, I can't wait for tomorrow night.
Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers.
Mookie.
Mookie. Mookie.
Did he have a better game last night? He didn't play great Saturday, did he?
He didn't play. So he does a lot of things without hitting that are, like, he'll get on, steal a base, uh-huh. make a couple great defensive plays. He's a five-tool guy. He can do a little of everything, so... Not hitting great, but he's doing other things.
Hey, I got some bad news.
What's wrong? Uh-uh. Go on. That's not good.
Well, you know what? I have more, but, you know, it is a school night. It's a Monday. But you know what? I'm going to drain this bottle for every single drop, and I'm going to finish it.
There you go.
That was my goal, though. I didn't think I could finish it, but because it looks like more than there is. But then you pour two, and it's like, all right, I'm done.
You're done.
All right. What's the next topic there, Chief?
So we talked about this a little earlier, and you know, you and I have something in common.
We do?
We like food.
Oh, absolutely.
We like food, and we like watching people make food.
I do.
So it's fun. I've seen a few
of the episodes. Show. It has to be a fun show.
It depends on the show. The Chef Show on Netflix is in season 2, and you said you had started
Yeah, I watched it like sporadically. It was like if they had a good subject, I watched it.
And I'm that's with Roy Choi, the chef.
Roy Choi and Jon Favreau.
Jon Favreau, director Jon Favreau, who directed a movie called Chef.
And I think that's how they got to be friends.
Based
because Choi was the consultant on the movie.
Right.
Basically showing Favreau technique.
Isn't it sort of based on Choi's life? I didn't see it.
Oh, it was good. Actually, you know what's funny? I watched that movie, I think, the first time I flew out to L.A.
I watched
it on the plane, and I liked it a lot.
So, you know that Roy is pretty much like a food god here in L.A.
Yes. Right?
He started the Koji truck, mm-hmm. The food truck.
Is it Koji or Kogi?
I don't know.
I don't know either. But anyway, go ahead.
But it's good. I've eaten off the Koji truck. And Roy's just a local guy who grew up poor and got into food.
He went to the Culinary Institute.
He did go to cooking school, and
he's a cool guy. He's just very cool.
He is a cool guy, and he's a low key dude.
Yep.
And he's got a couple shows on PBS, local PBS, I think, here about food in the culture in Los Angeles, in the South, mm-hmm. Southland, and I want to check those out. They looking at poverty and the effects of food on the environment and the effects of food on our area. But he's a great guy. And it's interesting with him, with Favreau kind of being the maestro.
Well, I guess he's the showrunner to a degree.
Yeah, he's a
showrunner.
I don't
know if he directs the episodes, but, you know, it's funny.
He sort of directs them on camera, though.
Right.
He's sort of directing Roy where to go, it almost feels like.
And I like Favreau a lot. I mean, he's a talented guy. He's directed some good movies. I mean, I think he and Vince Vaughn wrote Swingers, which I could watch that. I could watch that like infinite times. And I think sure. I've seen it. If it's on, I'll jump in. I'm in. I'm all in. You know why? Because you're so money. You are so money.
You are so money.
I just love that movie. It's great. I mean, it's Favreau. It's, you know.
I like his acting.
He's a good actor. He's a very good actor.
I wish he would act more. He doesn't. He was in some of the Marvel movies, right?
He's in Spider-Man. He directed the three Iron Man movies, I think.
I think he's in Iron Man. Isn't he in?
He is. He's Happy.
Yeah.
He's what's his name? Tony Stark's assistant?
Right.
Not assistant, but what is he? His driver, bodyguard? I don't know what he does. But he's great. I like Favreau. I like Choi better on The Chef Show than Favreau.
It doesn't feel to me like it's Choi's show. It feels like it's Favreau's show.
Mm-hmm.
And Choi's sort of along for the ride. I like those episodes. I watched all of last season, the first season.
Yeah.
And I've seen a couple of the episodes for the new season. And I always get the sense that it's the better episodes to me are when Choi gets to cook.
Yep.
And
I would agree.
And he's kind of directing the traffic. Although I think the first season when they're actually going to places and they go to like Robert Rodriguez's house in Texas, I think.
Oh yeah, that was fun.
And they're just cooking at his house.
That was a lot of fun.
It was fun. And
then they saw your boy Aaron Franklin.
Yeah, Aaron Franklin. Yep. Yep. The barbecue guy in Austin. Mm-hmm. And those moments when Choi is sort of like doing his thing are really special. I'm gonna cook for you. John, I'm going to cook for you. That's just really well. The last one I saw was he's trying to recreate a hamburger.
I saw that episode.
It's an insane burger. It is. Or when he's just like kind of making some Asian thing. You know, Choi and Dave Chang, we could talk another day about Dave Chang. They've been very interesting on Instagram during COVID. I follow them both. And they've both done some like little cooking. Well, Chang a lot. He's done all these little cooking things on Instagram. And simple stuff. Nothing crazy. Like how to make rice without a rice maker, without the rice mom. How to make rice. How to, scramble an egg the right way. Chang is fun.
It's always a lot of fun.
What I find fascinating about these guys, it's always simpler than you think it is. You're thinking that this is like, you got to go to cooking school to learn how to make rice. No, you know, you can make rice and it's not that complicated and you don't have to buy store-bought stuff.
Well, it's funny because they're so different. Their personalities are so different.
Yes. Yes. And I think Chang though, I think I've heard him talk. I think was it Choi on one of Chang's on Ugly Delicious or one of Chang's shows on Netflix.
I'm not sure. I would like to see that. That would probably be fun.
I thought that it was just a one-off thing, but I think he sort of finds. I think he's in reverence of Roy.
Yeah.
You know, and they're probably about the same age. I would think they're probably.
Not,
yeah.
I mean, how old can David Chang be? Late 30s.
Yeah, maybe early maybe 40s, 40.
Young guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's fun. Today's podcast episode was really good.
I started listening to it today. His podcast is great.
Yeah. And I like that he's doing these one-offs. What did he call it? I forget what they called the episode. They gave it a name. Like, basically, kind of like, you know, it's good because I said it is.
Yeah.
It's not that.
Right.
But, what do you call it? I got to find it. Hold on a second. Bear with me here. Oh, my opinion is fact.
Yep.
So that's like the whole thing. Like, you know, if you believe it's true, then it's true.
Sure.
You know, but it was funny. He's talking about instant coffee. It was hysterical.
So 2 days ago, I saw him on Instagram, and it was a video of him. I thought I was making coffee. I didn't have the sound on. What is he doing? And it's like pouring some black stuff into a cup.
Yeah.
And some powdered creamer in there and hot water. Wait, is that like instant coffee?
Yep.
And I didn't understand it. And now I understand it.
It was kind of funny because his whole thing was basically that, you know, coffee is just a vehicle for caffeine.
Yeah.
And everybody's all highbrow and all this crazy stuff. And meanwhile, it's just like, whatever. Whatever.
And I think both those guys, Choi and Chang.
By the way, for the record, I ain't doing freeze-dried coffee. But that's another story.
My wife would say the same thing. They both have this ultimately they have this street attitude about cooking. It's a more egalitarian way to feed people, which is healthy. I mean, they're not, they can be as stuffy as they want to be too, but they are ultimately making street food. And, or want to make street food.
I mean, well, let's face the facts here. I mean, at the end of the day, what do you crave? You crave like a street taco in L.A.
You do, you want comfort food, and those are the kinds of places I think that Chang and Choi probably enjoy more than a 5-star restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The episode from what was Chang's other show on Netflix? When he does a taco run with Jonathan Gold and Gustavo Arellano.
That wasn't Ugly Delicious?
Was it Ugly Delicious? It might have been Ugly Delicious.
Might have been.
And they're just riding in a pickup, driving around L.A., going to taco trucks. That's...
You know what that's called? That's called a good day.
That's called heaven, man.
You call that Tuesday.
That's called heaven. I call it Tuesday. Well, I almost went to one yesterday. My wife and I went to Hollywood pick up some whiskey, and there were a little crazy out there, and just a little too many people out there for me to kind of go standing in line and things. But can't go wrong with a taco truck, that's for sure.
No, you know? Absolutely not.
And now they've changed the rules here in Los Angeles. It was a number last year, 2 years ago, where pretty much anyone, I think it's in the city of LA, or I believe, or it's not the county, might be the county, where you can pretty much cook on the street. And they're everywhere, in front of people's houses, in front of a 7-Eleven, wherever. Yeah. There are people cooking, and it's just bacon-wrapped tacos, bacon-wrapped hot dogs, tacos, you name it. You go drive the streets of L.A. on a Saturday, on most nights, probably mostly on the weekends. It's just, the smells are amazing. It's incredible. And... I think that's the Chang and Choi guys, they would love that. They would just, and they, I'm sure that they're both here in LA. They probably know
the
all
East
about
Coast
that.
And the West Coast office, they would like that too.
Yes. There are places not 10 minutes from my house.
Hey, when's that vaccine coming?
I know. We need it, man. So we can get out. Get out of this. Get out of my garage.
Okay. You change the scenery, man.
I tell you.
Are we saying we're all in on the chef show?
I think so. I mean, it can be up and down a little bit.
The first season, or I should say the first round of episodes that came out, I thought were solid and they were a lot of fun. And I think I probably watched them twice.
Yeah.
Now they've gotten a little more spotty. But yeah. They're still fun. I mean, they're still fun. It's fun when they get a good guest. I think Seth Rogen was on and he was kind of fun.
I think having, those celebrity guests are fun. I like Chang's when he's going into the city of that person. He went to Vancouver. Mm-hmm. That's where Seth Rogen's from. So correct. He could go to places that Seth Rogen knows about and little mm-hmm. neighborhoods that Rogen knows about. I like that. Learn a little bit about the celebrity too.
Hey, so speaking of guests, Mr. Choi, Mr. Favreau, we're here for you. Come on down.
Come on in, boys. We'll talk food.
Come on in. We can talk food. We can talk movies. We can talk about you on Friends, even though I didn't watch Friends. But I did watch Maid. Who mentions Maid? Me.
That's right. That's a reference. There you go.
You know?
So what we might watch is our next category. But before we do, I have to pour a little bit of whiskey because I ran out of bourbon.
All right. Go ahead.
So I have to pour this one because I've been what's meaning next? To try it. You know our the whiskey club that I'm part of here in LA, the Southern California Whiskey Club. Uh-huh. We have some inns with people, and we have a private barrel pick from Kilhoman.
Mm. We like it, see
this. I'm letting you see this on the video. Our people at home can't see it, but that's a private barrel. It is 8-year-old Ruby Port quarter cask.
And we talked about Kilhoman in episode one.
We did.
With the Wills family.
I just picked up this bottle over the weekend. It sold out. And I am going to pour a little of this to see what this is all about. Because on Sunday of the week that we are recording this episode, our club is actually doing a online tasting with Anthony Wills, the owner of Kilhoman.
Yeah, look so at you. Aren't you
Sunday pick? Afternoon, we'll be doing a little event with him while he's at, I assume, at the distillery. And I believe one of his sons is going to be involved.
James, perhaps?
I think it's James.
Nice.
Wow. I can tell you, it smells amazing. So you got Isla Smoke, Kilhoman DNA, and this interesting port wine, but it's not omnipresent. It's just a whiff of it because I don't like a heavy wine finish.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting.
Sounds delicious. Sounds delicious.
So we're gonna wrap this thing up with a show that you told me about, and because of an actress who we know of from another show
that we talked about in the last episode, yes.
Yeah, from our first episode, Aya Cash was the star. What was her Stormtrooper? What was her name?
She was Stormfront.
Stormtrooper, whatever.
So she's interesting. Well, I have an interesting thing. Like when I find, let's say I see a movie that I like, not so much now, but when I was before pre-kids, as opposed to pre-COVID, pre-kids.
Pre-K.
So if there was like a director that I suddenly liked, like I liked the movie, I would like research it and say, all right, well, who directed it? Who's in it? Who wrote the script? Is that the other thing? Then I start looking for it. Then I look for their other films. You know, so let's say like, for instance, Steven Soderbergh. Big fan of Steven Soderbergh. So I see one movie of his, which I think the first one was Sex, Lies, and Videotape, was his first big film. But let's say I found him, you know, later in his career where he was doing Ocean's 11. I said, oh, I really like this guy. Let me go back and see, like go back to the beginning with him. I would have gone back and rented Sex, Lies, and Videotapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have gone to, you know, Out of Sight or whatever else he's done in between. And I would have just, you know, gone through his whole catalog. Because that's how I do it. Same thing with books. I do the same thing.
You know what you are?
What?
You're a completist.
I try to be. When I latch on to somebody that I really like.
I'm the same way. Yeah.
You know, so with Aya Cash, you know, I really liked her in The Boys. She was really interesting. She was menacing.
Did you know her before that?
No.
Yeah,
not at all.
I didn't either. And I thought the same thing. I actually thought she's cute, but she's tough in the show, right? So she's interesting. And I got the sense that she delivered the comedic lines really well.
Correct.
And I thought she could be in a sitcom. She
played both really well. She played menacing and she did the comedy really well too.
She did. So then you tell me about some show that she's in called
You're the Worst.
And that was on?
It was on FX.
It was on FX.
And they did 5 seasons, and right now it's current. You can watch it on Hulu.
So, have you watched it all?
I am so far, I think I'm halfway through season 3. That's as far as I've gotten.
I watched, and I didn't know anything about it. I didn't look
Neither
it up.
Neither did I.
And I said, you said it was, she's in it. Sounds and it was a you said I think you told me it was a comedy. Okay. Correct. She hit the comedy nerve for me. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna try it. So I watched the first episode yesterday and I'm hooked. So I can't say a whole lot because I've only seen one episode, but it reminds me, going back to that chess movie, The Queen's Gambit. I don't know where this thing is going. I don't know anything about it, but it feels like it's gonna be about probably, I'm assuming it's her and the gentleman, the lead.
So the cast of characters. So there's 4 main characters in the show. So Jimmy and Gretchen. So Jimmy is played by English. I think he's English. Chris Gere.
Right.
And her. Aya Cash plays Gretchen.
Right.
And then Gretchen's friend is Lindsay, who's played by a woman named Heather Donahue. And then there is Edgar, who is played by Desmond Borges. And Desmond is kind of Jimmy's housemate.
Right. I get the sense that this is going to be a dark comedy, and these are two destructive human beings.
Yes.
That with the comedy going on, they're destroying their lives in some way. I don't know that that's the case, but I'm guessing that's where this is going to go.
Can I make a whiskey analogy to this show?
Sure.
So, you know, let's say you're a whiskey drinker and you've never had a peated whiskey before.
Yep.
Like, let's say you spent your whole life drinking bourbon and then you tried peated whiskey. Now, with at least my experience with peat has been, you know, that first breath or that, you know, the first nosing, the first tasting, you get that, you know, you get the Band-Aids and the sea spray and you get all these things that you normally wouldn't like. But then with some of these whiskeys, you push past it and ultimately there's some sweetness.
Yep.
To it. This show is like an Isla whiskey.
Wow.
So it's like smoke. It's like abrasive. It's big. It's bold. But then you get past it, you know, and it's interesting because so far I've been on, I'm on season three. First season was kind of, you know, and much like the show we talked about before, Halt and Catch Fire, this mm-hmm. show has improved. You know, like I think if they would have kept the first season where it's all just like big, brash, kind of nasty characters, if that would have kept going, I think it would have got old. You know, but as they dig deeper into the characters and you kind of get past the rough experience, ultimately it's sweet and it's a rom-com.
Did you watch Love on Netflix?
I don't think I did. Was that the one? Who was on that?
It's a Judd Apatow.
Right. Who's the woman in it?
Jillian Jacobs. She was on Community.
Oh, yeah. No, I didn't. Yeah. I did not watch that.
And it was Paul Rust. Okay. And it's a rom-com, but she, more than he, is a self-destructive person, battling demons of sex addiction and drug addiction, and her and Paul Rust are on again, off again couple, and they're both working in Hollywood in various places, and there's a sweetness to it. Mm. And you wonder, is this going to last? Are they going to find love in all right. this? And dealing with work and work issues and really horrible demons that they're she has to deal with, not so, and he has to deal with as being a boyfriend.
Yeah.
And I kind of see with that this You're the Worst might be similar to that. If it is, it's great. I'm all over it. It's going to be fun. I'm sure it gets really kind of hard to watch, maybe cringy a little bit.
It gets a little, not super cringy, but it gets a little dark.
Yeah.
But it works. You know, it kind of works. You get to know more about these characters, why they're, you know, damaged in one particular way or another, yeah. and how they're kind of pushing past it and all that kind of stuff.
Would you say there's five seasons?
Yeah, I believe there's five
seasons. How the heck do I not know about a show on FX that was on for five yeah. seasons? That is so weird that there's these shows out there that have these runs and you never, ever heard of them.
And it's funny because I think I told you before, I've been kind of on the...
What the hell's that all about?
The Watch Facebook page.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good because it's basically a discussion board. And there's a whole lot going on. And, you know, a lot of the people, because I posted that I was watching it, and they're like, oh, my God, it's one of my favorite shows of all time. Oh, the ending is fantastic. It's one of the top five endings of all time. So it's interesting because there's a lot of shows. Somebody posed the question on what's the show that you didn't latch onto at first, but then you rediscovered later. Well, this is one of them.
Yeah.
You know, like The Americans. I couldn't get into that at first. And then I went back and watched that. And it was fantastic.
Well, that's.
And I would actually consider rewatching it. And that could be, you know, a topic for a different show, but like, what would you go back and watch again from the beginning? And yeah. The Americans, I think, will be on my list.
The Americans was one that I didn't watch when it was on in its first run,
right?
At all. And another one was Homeland. I didn't watch that at all because I didn't have Showtime. And I got into it on a binge level post, you know, when it was in season six right. or something, trying to catch up. You know, you can't have access to everything is one issue.
Right.
I didn't have Showtime till recently, or Hulu. You can't be expected to know all these things exist out there. And there's so much time, and there's so many damn channels. How do you know that all these things are out there? You can't keep track of all these things. There's probably I don't know how many rom-com, dark rom-coms are out there that, you know, you would probably, we'd probably love, but mm-hmm. they're on like some wacky little channel, like yeah. that you never even heard of.
Yeah. Like, you know, going back to what we talked about one time. What's that? I'm sorry.
Great example. Yes.
That's more in the Curb Your Enthusiasm vein of comedy.
Not a rom-com, but it's a really unique comedy that I never knew about. I found out, Schitt's Creek is another one.
Right.
And that's like exploded. You find these little shows with all these, the ones we just mentioned, they're not big blockbuster shows.
Oh, no, absolutely not. You know? There's a show I was watching on Netflix, and I think I've watched it twice, believe it or not. The show's called Lovesick.
Why do I know Lovesick?
It was the first season. It was originally called Squirtle Recall.
Oh, yes.
It was about a guy that had, I think he had chlamydia.
Yeah.
And he had to go back and call all his ex-girlfriends and tell them that he had chlamydia.
Yeah.
You know, and then I just started watching it. I think it has like three seasons. I mean, they're short. It's the British model. So it's like, you know, five episodes a season. But it's just a really goofy show and it's just kind of fun.
And there's another show on Netflix like that, and it's called Cuckoo.
Cuckoo.
Cuckoo. And I came up
like Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs?
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. C-U-K-O-O. And I came upon Cuckoo. It a few years ago by chance, and it was so outlandish, and it had such heart, and it starred Andy Samberg. And so what the hell is Andy Samberg doing on this weird little bizarre comedy about a British family? And then Andy Samberg's character goes away and Taylor Lautner takes his place. This, like, you know, it's sex symbol guy.
Five seasons? And
it is so outlandishly British and fun and funny. Uh-huh. And no one knows about it, I'm assuming. Huh. And I think it's a BBC show. And then Andy McDowell comes in the last season, and she's hilarious. And it's great. And the lead in this show is this amazingly tall gentleman, British gentleman, Greg Davies. He's like 6'9". He's such a great – he's in that – almost in that Monty Python type comedic
– So is he the new John Cleese?
He's very Cleesian in some ways.
Oh, that's a good thing. That's a very good thing.
But that's one of those shows, you know, that it's, you have to scroll down a long way to find things like that in Netflix. And how would you know? And I don't even know how it came up on my feed to watch it originally. And I could not believe how funny it was. And it's just wacky, you know. I love those, finding those shows like that. And then you tell somebody about it, they go, "What the hell are you talking about? What the hell is You're the Worst?" When you told me that, what the hell is You're the Worst? Why would you call a show You're the Worst?
But so things you're gonna watch. You're gonna keep going with You're the Worst.
Keep going with You're the Worst. The worst thing about Hulu is the commercials, but it's still. It's a half hour one. It's a half hour one. Yeah. Correct. I am definitely going to keep going. Looking forward to popping into that one. Any last thoughts on TV shows that you want to be?
I think I'm going to try The Queen's Gambit when I'm done with The Other
Worst. Oh, good, good. I'm glad you're
And pop, also, pop into that. One last thing.
Yeah.
I started watching a new show on HBO.
Yep.
The Undoing.
Oh, right. That's the one with
Hugh Grant and Nicole Kidman. And a whole bunch of other people. So it was intriguing.
It looks a little soap opery.
It does. And I was, again, looking on one of the message boards and how somebody described it as, Big Little Lies in New York City.
Right. I heard it's like some in the same family.
And it's also David E. Kelly. And I think this is based on a book as well. But I like Hugh Grant. And I'm kind of curious to see what they do with him. Nicole Kidman, she has her moments. She's sometimes good, sometimes not so good.
One on my list that I think my wife and I might look into is The Good Lord Bird on Showtime.
Oh, that's supposed to be very good.
With Ethan Hawke. Got some historical connections, which are always fun for me.
Now, this is post-abolishment of slavery, post-Civil War?
It's pre-Civil War, I believe.
Is it pre? Oh, okay.
I think it's pre. I don't know. for certain. But I would like to check that one out too.
Yeah, I'm curious about that one.
You know, there's a show just kind of off the top here. I don't know what it's about, but it intrigues me. And I think it's on like its third or fourth season. I don't even know where it's, I don't even know where it's on. National Geographic, maybe. Is Yellowstone with Kevin Costner?
Yeah, I think it's on the Paramount station or something like that.
Have you watched it?
No.
Anything?
And it's Kevin Costner.
It's Costner. I don't know who else.
I can't think of who else. It's been some, so buzz.
Ranchers or something.
Yeah. Okay. I thought about that one just because I really like Yellowstone, because that was a really, really beautiful place.
I love Yellowstone. And that was a pretty awesome place. I think that just watching it to see the scenery would be just amazing.
Yeah. I'll have to check it out.
Well, there's a long list of things to check out.
What do you think? We crashed and burned on this one or not?
I think we might have crashed and burned on this one. That was the goal. I think that's a good goal.
What, the crash and burn?
Oh, that's a great goal.
Fly high to
your wings start burning.
What's the line? What's the Neil Young line? Better to burn out than to fade away?
Better to burn out than fade away.
Right? We'll quote a little Neil Young.
That's right.
So that's where we're going with this.
All right, episode 2 is in the books.
We're going to
put this one down on whatever they use now. I guess it's digital, but we could say wax. Let's say wax.
Wax?
They don't do that's a that's actually you know that's a record thing. But it was great. We talked, we jocked, we drank.
I kicked the bottle, man. I kicked another bottle.
I kicked the
mezcal in episode 1. Now I kicked the Four Roses small batch in episode 2. I'm going to be kicking bottles. Kicking bottles and kicking ass.
We may have to change the name of this the podcast to What Bottles We Kick While We're Watching TV or something like that. Seems like long.
We need like a long name. Kicking bottles and kicking shows? No.
Ooh, that's not bad. Kicking bottles and kicking ass.
There you go. Kicking bottles and kicking ass.
Kicking TV ass.
Something like that.
All right. We did great.
All right, folks. So
this one's going in the record books.
Again.
Always.
The business.
Where can you watch this thing?
You can catch us on the blog, boozedancing.com. Or you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Email us at boozedancing@gmail.com. If you have any comments, have any topics you want us to cover, let us know. We like to hear from our friends. Cards and letters are accepted, and also cash gifts.
Awesome. Especially the cash gifts.
We like that. All right, folks. Ching, clink, clink.
West Coast. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, my buddy. Talk to you.
Cheers.
Out.